Our cover story today looks back at the events of 50 years ago this week, when a small farm town in California's San Joaquin Valley captured national headlines for doing something so bold, so futuristic, and so unusual that it kicked off a trend that would reshape cities across the country. It was the centerpiece of a meticulous plan that promised to save the city from sprawl, decay, and polluted skies. For on that September day in 1964, Fresno ushered in a new era, becoming what backers called the city of tomorrow, with the closure of its main street to the automobile and the opening of the Fulton Mall. Delane Zodi was there the day Fulton Street, in the heart of Fresno's business district, disappeared.
We were standing at the corner there by Montgomery Ward. There were a lot of people standing around watching. There seemed to be maybe some important people there, and they were there with the big scoop, or whatever it's called, digging up the asphalt for Fulton Street.
Mercy.
It was a really big deal. I mean, everybody was talking about this and what a great thing this was going to be and how excited everyone was. And I was, you know, I was swept up in it too. And I grew up in the middle of nowhere out in Kerman on a farm. And so coming to Fresno was just really exciting.
Lonely and just like me.
From March through August of 1964, crews worked to transform the four-lane street into an area reserved only for pedestrians. Hundreds of trees, dozens of fountains, and a world-class public art collection were installed to make downtown a more appealing place for shoppers, a landscape for living. Then on September 1st, California Governor Pat Brown presided over a party the likes of which hadn't been seen in Fresno since the end of World War II. The Fulton Mall was officially opened.
There was a sense of something new and different coming, and that Fresno was on the cusp of making its name in the state, maybe in the nation. Things were beginning to happen for Fresno.
Almost immediately, the mall was declared a smashing success. Shoppers loved it, and so did Fresno's businesses.
But at Christmas time, we always came up here because the stores were open until 9 on Friday nights. Everything was lit up. And there were lots of people downtown, and it was a fun place to be.
Forget all your cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're down.
Soon the story spread beyond the valley. Look magazine and other publications came to town to write about the mall. Fresno was named an All-American City, and the American Institute of Architects gave the mall a prestigious national award. And seeing Fresno's success, hundreds of cities across the country began to do the exact same thing, converting their main streets into pedestrian malls as well. But along the way, something happened, and things didn't go according to plan. The mall didn't solve all of Fresno's problems. It didn't stop suburban sprawl, it didn't stop urban decay, and it didn't clean up the valley's polluted skies. In the end, it didn't even save downtown's retail scene. In fact, all of those things got worse, far worse than even the most pessimistic projections of the era could have possibly foreseen. How and why that happened is our story today. But this story isn't just about the mall or even about downtown. It's really about what happens when a community does what almost everyone thinks is the right thing, but the result is almost exactly the opposite of what everyone thought would happen.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely, I have nobody.
You're listening to Valley Edition on Valley Public Radio.
For my own, I'm so lonely.
We begin our story today in Fresno of the late 1950s, the city of just over 100,000 people. Shields Avenue was considered North Fresno. And the downtown skyline hadn't really changed at all since the late 1920s. If you wanted to go shopping, you pretty much had one option, the stores on Fulton Street. But things were starting to change as the city grew, largely in one direction, north.
My name is Hal Topmakian. There was so much going on in that early period. Fresno State was moving out to Shaw and Cedar Avenue. as well as something major taking place, and that was Manchester Shopping Center in the late 1950s. It wasn't an enclosed mall as it is now. It was just a strip. But nevertheless, the die was cast.
So Hal is this really interesting guy, and I wanted to talk to him for this story because back in the 1950s, he was in the planning department in Fresno County and then became the county's planning director in 1964. So he was around when all of these things were happening.
That was just at the time that downtown change was beginning to take place.
And those changes had Fresno's biggest merchants worried. Basically, for years, the stores on Fulton Street had a monopoly on retail in the area. But when Manchester Center opened a few miles north of downtown in 1955, all of a sudden, they had new competition. Manchester had stores, it had landscape plazas, and of course, a ton of free parking. Downtown, meanwhile, had parking meters.
It was congested. There were problems with automobile noise. There were problems with air pollution. There were no exhaust controls of the automobiles, so there was always a conflict between the automobiles and the pedestrians.
It was almost like that famous quote from baseball star Yogi Berra when somebody asked him about this restaurant players used to go to. He said, "Oh, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded." Downtown was so busy, it was becoming a less pleasant place to shop, especially when compared to a convenient suburban shopping center like Manchester. Now, Fresno wasn't the only city with this problem. It was happening across the country. And in the early years of the Kennedy administration, the federal government was offering cities money to do something about it. So Fresno's leaders went in search of a solution, in search of the one man who had an answer to Fresno's problems. They found him in an office in Beverly Hills, an Austrian-born architect who was a self-described socialist and who Malcolm Gladwell a few years ago called maybe the most influential architect of the 20th century. His name? Victor Gruen.
Tell me about Victor Gruen. Who was Victor Gruen?
Victor Gruen was the grand master of shopping centers in the United States. Victor Gruen invented the concept of the enclosed retail shopping center in the suburbs.
So essentially, Fresno hired the man who invented the shopping mall.
That's right. He had a certain concept of locating retail shops in these centers. There would be major stores on either end of the shopping center and smaller stores in between. So he simply applied that principle to Fresno.
So Gruen is this absolutely fascinating character. Here's this guy who did maybe more than anyone else to create the suburbia that we know today in America. And he hated it. He hated cars, he hated sprawl and clutter and the noise of American cities.
He was a critic of the effect of the automobiles on downtown and the dispersal that it was creating. He was a man for concentration and human scale, and hoping that some way of developing a core city would elevate the quality of life in a city. And that was one of his objectives, and he wanted to apply it here in Fresno and to see it work.
And remember, Gruen is from Vienna, a city known for its grand pedestrian-only boulevards and a circular road that goes around the historic heart of the city, the Ringstrasse. And that right there is exactly Gruen's plan for downtown Fresno. Fresno's Viennese makeover was supposed to go something like this. A freeway loop, which was already on the books, would act as Fresno's Ringstrasse, encircling downtown and bringing drivers into the center of the city from the suburbs. Inside it, another traffic loop would be constructed on surface streets, a one-way ribbon to ferry motorists from the freeways into a bevy of new parking garages. Old two- and three-story buildings from the 19th century would be torn down to make way for new high-rise apartment and office buildings. And some of Fresno's oldest neighborhoods near downtown would be razed to make way for modern industrial and residential developments. At the heart of it all would be the mall. Six blocks going north and south and five cross streets closed to cars, buses, and trucks. But despite his reputation as Mr. Retail, Gruen didn't just see the mall as a corridor for shoppers. He had a much bigger vision.
This is a people place. This is a place for people to come to congregate, to share information, to talk, to party.
This would be Fresno's grand public space, its living room, filled with sidewalk cafes, play areas for the kids, art galleries, places for people to relax or maybe see a concert in the mall's central plaza. It was this vision that won over downtown businesses, the city council, and the public.
All of that civic spirit was involved in believing and sharing this vision of a revitalized downtown Fresno. And I think the community saw that vision and bought into it and supported the concept.
Fresno bought what Victor Gruen was selling. Out with the old farm town on the California prairie and in with the modern, sophisticated city of the future. With time and money at a premium, work commenced on the project, starting with its centerpiece, the mall. The other elements were expected to come later as money flowed in from Washington. And by September 1st, 1964, Fresnans were more than ready to see what all the buzz was about.
Round, round, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round, I get around,
I get around.
So September 1st, 1964, the mall opens, the governor comes to give a speech. What was the mood at the time? What was the initial reaction?
Celebrate. Let's have a party. It was a grand occasion when the ribbon was cut and the first pedestrians came in, when the trams began to move up and down the mall, the electric trams that were provided and funded by Joe Levy of Gottschalks, I might add.
Fresno loved it. People flocked to the mall, sales went up, and the city was the darling of urban planners across the nation.
It was downtown renewed and revitalized. But there is a catch to this, because it was not something that was going to last very long.
Because in Fresno, things did not go according to plan. For a few years, things were good downtown. People flocked to stores like Gottschalk's, Cooper's, Roos Atkins, and Rodder's. But behind the scenes, Gruen's carefully planned vision was unraveling, bit by bit, and in the process, creating the Fresno we know today. So what happened? How did this city that supposedly had it all figured out wind up as the poster child for sprawl, poverty, unemployment, and urban decay in the 1990s and 2000s? Well, let's take a step back for a moment. Gruen wasn't just an architect. He was someone who lived and breathed retail, and his plan had an economic element. Remember, he was hired to prop up downtown's retailers in the face of new competition in the suburbs. His solution wasn't just to make the area more appealing for shoppers. It was to make the mall pretty much the only option for shoppers, not just in Fresno, but in the entire six-county region.
That was at the core of Gruen's economic plan for downtown. It would be serving a large inter-county retail service.
It was a policy of urbanization and concentration. See, after Fresno State moved north in the early 50s and Manchester Center began to draw shoppers away from Fulton, the county and the cities of Fresno and Clovis came up with their own plan for the region before Gruen. It went like this. Fresno would continue to grow north with suburban homes surrounding the new college, virtually all the way out to the San Joaquin River. But big things like major retail, large office buildings, and hospitals would all be limited to downtown. A trio of new freeways would bring shoppers and workers downtown with ease. On paper, Gruen's vision worked perfectly.
But Gruen did not recognize the nature of the political process and the change that occurred through that process and the unpredictableness of politics. You have to realize that sometimes planners such as Gruen, being a European, tend to be somewhat autocratic in their mindset. There is, in Gruen's mind, a grand plan that will solve all the problems. Well, we know that eventually this is not the case, that there always has to be something that is ever watchful about the principles and the policies to see that they are carried forward over time.
That ever watchful body was supposed to be the Fresno City Council, but about 9 months before the mall opened, tragedy struck the biggest supporters of the project at City Hall, including Fresno's mayor, Arthur Selland.
Who, unfortunately, along with the redevelopment agency director and the redevelopment agency chairman, were killed in a traffic accident at the corner of Clovis and 99.
Still, it was full speed ahead. The mall opened in 1964, and that same year, the council adopted a new general plan for the entire city that made Gruen's vision of centralization the official policy of Fresno. But in 1966, someone else had a different vision. His name was Gordon McDonald, a developer from Santa Barbara. That year, he announced plans to build a 700,000-square-foot indoor shopping mall at Shaw and First Streets in North Fresno, anchored by three major department stores. The only problem was, at the time, McDonald couldn't build it because it was exactly the type of project the general plan prohibited.
It really hit the fan then.
He called the project Fashion Fair.
It came before the Planning Commission first, and the Planning Commission rejected McDonald's proposal. It went on appeal to the City Council, and the first time around, the City Council also rejected it. Well, McDonald was not the person that would give up easily.
So McDonald and his local representative, Ed Cashin, went back to the drawing boards and hatched a plan. They would go back to the city with a proposal to build a new major department store downtown on the Fulton Mall, if the city changed the law to allow them to build Fashion Fair out in the suburbs. The plan worked brilliantly.
That came back before the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission again rejected it. But then it went to the City Council, and the City Council approved it. He proceeded immediately to build Fashion Fair, of course. That was raw land.
Fashion Fair opened in 1970, and downtown was never the same. Within a year, McDonald went back to the City Council and explained that despite his promise to build the downtown department store, the project was no longer feasible. It was never built, and Gruen's vision for downtown had effectively been undermined. The general plan took another hit when the City Council again altered the rules to allow St. Agnes Hospital to build a new high-rise medical center on Herndon Avenue, which was then just a two-lane country road in North Fresno. Then in 1974, as the mall celebrated its 10th anniversary, the City Council made the new policy official, adopting a general plan that was the exact opposite of what Gruen had proposed. Centralization was out and decentralization was in.
Which allowed for the shopping centers, the major retail centers, to be dispersed along Blackstone Corridor and along Shaw Avenue.
Of course, if you live in Fresno, you already know the result. The big box stores that began on West Shaw Avenue in the 1980s, and then in the 1990s, the massive lifestyle center that is known today as River Park. Back downtown, change was coming. Fears about crime and Fresno's growing homeless population kept suburban shoppers away. Parking remained a problem, as only a few of the planned parking garages were actually built, and Fresno's freeway system, which was supposed to make for a quick trip downtown, was stalled.
They slowly began to change, and I'll give you an example. My retail clothier downtown was Carney Hodge, Hodges, men's clothes, and he was right on Fulton Mall, and he was a supporter of Fulton Mall from the very, very beginning. And I would go in there often. He became increasingly bleak about downtown. Eventually, he said, "My customers are all north. They disperse as the city grows, and I've got to move closer to them." So the next step for Hodge and Sons was to move to Fashion Fair. And I moved to see him at Fashion Fair when I needed garments.
So you stopped shopping downtown too?
I went where my shop was. I went where Mr. Hodge was.
And he went where his customers were.
That's right.
By the late 1980s, the bottom fell out. JCPenney's left, then Gottschalk's. And it wasn't just the shops. The office workers left too. Virtually all of downtown's major office buildings went into foreclosure and sat vacant. Things had not gone according to plan. Victor Gruen died in 1980, just 6 years after his plans for Fresno were officially discarded. Now, in 2014, you'd be extremely lucky to find a Fresnan who actually knows his name. But his ideas remain both controversial and influential. Craig Sharton is perhaps Gruen's biggest local critic.
It's kind of funny, you know, you say you can't have the best of both worlds, but he both created the problem and he also sold the solution to the problem.
In this case, when Craig says Gruen created the problem, he's talking about the suburban shopping centers that the architect either designed or inspired. But he doesn't stop there. See, Craig is one of many who say that Gruen's vision for a downtown free of cars is actually part of the problem itself.
I'm not sure that his vision was the correct one. I mean, I don't think the car was the problem. I mean, as much as I would love to live in a utopia where everyone rode bikes or we all live so close we walk to everything, but, you know, cars carry people, and we were built as a main street.
Craig used to run the city of Fresno's downtown revitalization department. He says that across the country, the idea of the downtown pedestrian mall just didn't work. And it's true that the majority of cities that followed Fresno's lead and installed pedestrian malls later removed them. He says people want to be able to drive past a store and park in front of it.
Interestingly enough, when you go to these other cities that had pedestrian malls, they almost all have the same story. It worked for 4 to 8 years, you know, afterwards, and people really look back at that early time. And that's the same story in Fresno. My perspective is that downtowns died across the country. People sprawled out. And then eventually you get to a point where you're sprawled enough that energy starts kind of coming back in. The wave hits the end of the kiddie pool and comes back toward the center. And that's happened here, except the pedestrian mall really blocks that wave from getting all the way to the middle.
And here Craig hits on an interesting point. Yes, Fresno has a lot of problems, but other cities Fresno's size and larger have dealt with the same issues. Sprawl, competition from suburban stores, urban decay, lack of parking. Yet one of the great American success stories of the past 15 years or so has been the resurgence of U.S. downtowns, large and small. This has come at the exact same time that Gruen's first child, the suburban shopping mall, has fallen on hard times, and in fact has been declared dead by publications ranging from Forbes to The Guardian.
It got worse in a lot of cities. So, again, I don't think we're unusual in that way. I think we're more unusual in the fact that it's taken us longer to start fixing our downtown and putting resources behind it and committing time to it. You know, we're probably 10 to 25 years behind what most other cities have done.
But why is that? What's holding Fresno back? Why is the mall virtually a ghost town after 5 p.m.? Is the Fulton Mall itself the problem? And was Victor Gruen wrong not just about American politics, but about the way people experience cities? Well, Fresno may soon find out. After 5 decades at the heart of Fresno's historic core, the mall's days are numbered. Earlier this year, the city council approved a plan to remove the mall, funded by a $17 million grant from the federal government, the same federal government that paid to put it in the first place. The mall's pavement, fountains, and most of the mature trees will be removed. A new two-way street will be built in its place, with wide sidewalks and new, smaller trees to complement the relocated collection of public art. The acclaimed design by landscape architect Garrett Ekbo will largely be relegated to history. The city hopes to break ground early next year, but a group of mall preservationists, including Hal Tokmakian, have filed a lawsuit to stop the effort. They say that far from being a failure, the mall is actually a success.
What do you think would have happened if Fresno had done nothing? This laissez-faire, didn't do the mall, didn't do the improvements that were made downtown.
Oh, it would have been a far worse city, because the mall as it happens, as it exists now, as it serves as an urban park for the population surrounding downtown, that is a positive realization of a dream that Garrett Ekbo had of a people's place. That would not have happened. It would have been a ghost town it would have been a shambles.
And here's the thing. When Fresno abandoned the Gruen plan, the mall began to take on a new role, not as this super-regional shopping center, but as a shopping destination for the neighborhoods surrounding downtown, with shops that catered to Fresno's immigrant communities. You won't find a Gap or a J. Crew store there today, but during the day, the mall is quite active. Dozens of small businesses selling everything from jewelry to cowboy boots line the six blocks in between the vacant buildings.
If you talk to the residents that are walking the mall now and shopping there and eating there and enjoying the art and the trees and the shade, they're not going to tell you that Fresno's a failure. They think that Fresno's a grand place because they're in the midst of a grand place. Only those that will say it is not a grand place are those who live on the outskirts of Fresno and do not go downtown.
Raul D'Alba is one of those merchants.
With Jalisco Jewelers, we've been here 25 years. We always loved downtown. I mean, I think it's a beautiful downtown. We saw the potential. I remember when the old Gottschalks, JCPenney was here, all those big stores, and people were coming to downtown. It got to a point where it got a little slower after those stores closed, but then it went up again. People like downtown.
He sees both sides of the issue.
I think opening the mall, the Fulton Mall, it's something good for downtown. People need to see our businesses. They need to drive by, and then they can park in front of our store. So I think it would be something positive. We need a change.
And change is coming downtown. Several new cafes and shops have opened or are in the works. One new restaurant and pub opened last year on the mall and is doing good business, even late at night, specializing in craft beer and locally grown food. The owner, though, of Peeves Public House may surprise you.
Yeah, well, we're open at night, and that's pretty fun. I do like, you know, disproving some of my points to all of this, but I also know how hard I have to work to overcome the complete absence of foot traffic.
So you're like the biggest critic of the Fulton Mall, and you leave the city, and what do? You open a business on the Fulton Mall that primarily most of your business is done at night when this place is completely dead.
Right. I know. I enjoy the irony of it.
So there you have it. The Fulton Mall. Six blocks of contradictions in the heart of Fresno. An urban place designed by the grandfather of suburban shopping. A national pioneer in urban revitalization that endured the very sort of decay that it was supposed to prevent. A pedestrian-only zone that, in an effort to generate more pedestrians, is about to become a street. A place that is lauded as both a great success and a great failure. Its future may be uncertain, but its role in shaping the Fresno we know today is clear. Reporting from the Fulton Mall in downtown Fresno, I'm Joe Moore for Valley Public Radio.